And a very pleasant good Tuesday to you. Thank you so much for being with us on this Tuesday. Outside of my little studio here has been mostly sunny all day, and then it got some clouds, and just in the last hour, some darker clouds, but depends on where I look, and wherever I look, it's amazing to me. I'm not sure what all that noise is that's going on here. So, well, whatever it is, I hope it goes away soon. There it goes. I hope you didn't. Did that go over the air? It's kind of a. My cell phone did something, and it wouldn't stop doing whatever it was doing. And it wasn't a reminder, because my last reminder is at 5 o'clock. That reminds, no, not showing what that is. Interesting. Well, that's never happened before. That's different. Well, it was a phone call. It was not in my contacts. Let me just see something here. Have no idea. Okay. Anyhow, we are looking at, though, a lot of rain and thunderstorms. We've seen some lightnings and things. But it's impacting traffic, because when I was looking, in fact, it was so heavy a little bit ago on the radar that I had to go into the density and drop it down, which what it does is it takes the intense color and it lowers it so I could read what was going under it. Now it's much, much improved from what it was. And it is on the Asheville was really heavy. And I think that might be what is contributing to some road issues, because we have got several road issues. The 240 corridor and the top of the Asheville area coming around to from Charlotte Street and I know that road like the back of my hand, but it's Broadway. And then where you get off to go to 20, the new 26, also the 25, all that is congested in there. Some spots actually stopping, and the downtown College Street, and you've got Broadway Street pretty messed up. And we, like I say, it was downpouring just a little bit ago. It is still raining, but it is much improved. The other thing is we've got 240 almost to Haywood. And as you pass Haywood, you're going to slow down pretty good all the way across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. And if you're coming down the new 26, when you get in the Montfort area there, you're going to see a slowdown all the way onto 20 or 240 to the junction of 26 as well. And then I-240 we talked about. And Malfunction Junction is looking good right now. We don't see issues there. But reports of two crashes in the gorge. And, yeah, it is messed up. And it just got worse. The accidents, one is just further west from the 276 exit. That's exit 20. Some 18-mile marker maybe. And the other one's about 4 or 5 miles further down. It is at a complete stop with probably not moving to moving very, very slow. So I hope your plans don't take down the gorge. If you don't get off there at the Candler exit and commit yourself to that, you're going to be stopped to get to mile marker 20 to get off there. And if you don't do that, well, you're just committed all the way down, because this is above the Cold Springs exit. So yeah, that's a mess there. And I was trying to see, let me just take a look at this there. Oh, 5:52 is their estimated clear time for one of the accidents, and the other accident 5:43. And so it's the right lane that's closed on that accident, and it's the right shoulder that's closed on the other accident. So, but both of them are westbound. Well, let's See if we can get some better news here. 26, no, as you're headed from the airport up towards Longshoals, you'll start slowing down, and then you'll slow down even more at Longshoals till you cross into the Blue Ridge Parkway, moving but slow. Just so you know, if Fletcher has some areas there right at Fanning Bridge Road and 25 and Sweeten Creek Road, up above, right around Harbor Freight there on Sweeten Creek and 25, right in between that little section of Mills Gap comes into there. Pretty heavy traffic there right at the moment. And where Longshoals 146 comes into 191, both sides to the south of Longshoals Road is slowed down pretty significantly. And let's see here, let's head down and Mills River there at 191. Not as bad as we've seen it. It's slowed down, but it's not as bad. And then we'll take a look at Hendersonville, and it's normal traffic. I don't see anything excessively abnormal. And 64 out into Brevard looks really good. Yeah. All right. That's good news. Again, we're looking at some rain and heavy rain at times. So beware of that. A big cluster in the Biltmore Forest and south of there. And since I refreshed it, it put it back to a high intensity. So it's hard to read. Cane Creek Road is running through parts of it. Mills Gap, yeah, see, that's why we got the issues there, I would imagine. And wow, that's a lot of rain. Yeah, might be some lightning associated with that. Asheville now downtown, light rain, not like it was. It's looking pretty good. Up in Madison County, some heavy rains there. And then we'll drop down, and as we come into Henderson County, Balfour, and Howard Gap Road, coming through Rugby and Haywood Road, all that. It's light rain to the west, heavy rain to the east, Fruitland. It sticks down to Oak Hill, Druid Hills, Patton Park, down into Barker Heights and Hendersonville, and all the way down into Little River Road from Flat Rock out towards Canoga Park. So, yeah, then let's see where this is at. Crab Creek Road, wow. This is heavy rain here, right? Starts just before the Home State Park, headed west, and it heads that way to where, you know, it's where it makes the curve around to head towards Anchor there. To there's kind of a curve that goes in there. That's where the heavy stops, and then you get up towards the Little River Baptist Church. Yeah, that's where it's going to be more moderate rain. And then there's nothing, at least the radar's not showing anything at the station right now. So it may have been there earlier. A lot of rain, spottiness, and there'll be a lot more to come. So hang in there. Like I said, there was a lot of lightning a while ago, and it has gone. The weatherman says, and this had not refreshed, so let me try it again. No, it still hasn't updated. But tonight, they say a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11, and a slight chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m., mostly cloudy, low around 67, with a chance of rain at 30%. Tomorrow, chance of showers with thunderstorms after 10 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 81. The chance of precipitation is 50%, and the future models are showing, you know, again, pockets of heavy, heavy rain. We're looking at Wednesday night, 30% chance with a low around 65. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, and again, high near 80. But precipitation chance goes up to 80%. We've got a cold front. It's been slowly coming our way. And so as it gets closer, it's kicking off more storms. So tomorrow and Thursday are going to be pretty heavy days. And Friday is still showing an 80% chance as well. Then Saturday, it drops down to 70%. And so, yeah, heavy going into even into next week if that holds out. And we never know. But again, we are looking at a potential tropical cyclone. Now, by right now, I can tell you the wind speed is high enough to declare that it would be in the tropical range. However, there's no form closing of the eye and making the formation of it has not formed into that. But they are saying that it has a 90% chance in the next 48 hours for that to change, and they believe it will. Now, what's interesting is right now it is located near the Leeward Islands. Now, there's a group of archipelagos. Now, an archipelago is just a group of islands. There's the Lesser Antilles, and the northern part of that is called the Leeward Islands. Now, this Lesser Antilles, that is kind of the convergent zone of the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. And it looks, the Leeward Islands, I believe, is, my brain fried, I believe it includes, I'm pretty sure it includes the United States Virgin Islands and the British Virgin Islands. They are part of the Greater Antilles. Also, Anguilla, St. Martin, and areas like that. That's what we're talking about. It's a group, it's all put together. It's called the Windward Islands down in that area. So it's interesting. They have a cone now out. And if you remember, the cone kind of gets wider as you go out because it's going to change. But if it was to follow the middle of that cone, it would put it a little further east than what Irma did. Irma came in at the bottom of the state, didn't go up the east or the west. It came right up the center of the state. This shows it coming in at an angle at Miami, and it stops as it curves to go up the center of the state. And Irma's the one that kept my wife and I up all night long listening to the wind come through the windows, which were airtight. It was so powerful of a storm, and listening to the trees crack. But there is, from everything I'm looking at, the potential of it moving further away to where it would miss the islands. Now, the islands that they think that it could hit, and they don't need it, is the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And then you have Puerto Rico in there. That's another that could kind of break it up. And you have Cuba. But they're thinking it's going to go to the north of that, which would then bring a potential of curving it into the Atlantic. So there is some speculation that it could become the first Atlantic storm. Now, if it goes up and curves out, then it usually affects the Outer Banks. If it comes in through the Georgia, Savannah area there, or South Carolina, and then if it makes it into the Gulf of Mexico or hits Florida, it's all subject to change. We're looking at Sunday to see where it would hit in Florida, unless it changes its speed. Right now, its speed is at west-northwest movement at 23 miles per hour. So we'll keep an eye on that and watch. Florida does not need it. They are a hot spot with incredible increases in the counts there in the state of Florida. Tremendous. I just heard thunder. Uh-huh. Interesting. I see still a mix of clouds and blue skies, but I just heard thunder. So let me just, yeah, well, getting closer. Okay. Anyhow, the governor had a press conference at 4 o'clock, and he turned it over to Dr. Cohen. And if you've ever watched her when she does the graphs and goes through them, when she's done, she'll give something a red X or a green check or a flat line. And all of her updates for the past 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, have been red X's, and flat lines. Well, today they were all flat lines, which means that we didn't decrease to the area of getting it into the green area, but we lowered it enough to be able to get to the area of leveling. And so that's a good news. There's a mixed bag of news, actually. And the bad news is the hospitalizations. The hospitalizations had a record day today. And we are looking at 1,244 that are currently hospitalized. Now, the good news is the case counts with completed tests. When we look at that combination at the tests and the cases, and then look at how many of them are positive, the 14-day rolling average that she said was between 8% and 9%. But today, as of today, it was 7%. And that certainly is good news. So we're glad to hear that. I'd like to see that continue to go down. She, of course, mentioned that she'd like to see it 5% or lower. So that is there. Now, taking a look at the number of cases, Henderson County. I got to remember. Was it 1288 yesterday? 1306 is what I'm seeing on the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services with 53 deaths. That caught me off guard. And I study this all the time, but did not see anything locally. Well, checking that. Transylvania County, 110 cases reported. Polk County at 124. And Buncombe at 1,505, with Haywood at 247 and Jackson at 371. So let's jump up here to Madison County, 32. So take a look at that. Now, we've seen an increase in hospitalizations, as we said. So let me come down here and do a regional view of the hospitals, and let's just see where we're doing here in the mountains and see what happens here. And we're looking at currently hospitalized COVID-19 patients is at 60. Now, I believe that's what I said yesterday. And if that's the case, and by the way, that's 100% of Mountain Hospitals reporting. So, I'm pretty sure I said 60 yesterday. So that would be no new patients, COVID patients. Now, but we do have 41 people admitted suspected patients. They don't have a test on them yet, but suspected cases. So we'll see how those pan out. And you got to remember that hospitalizations do not reflect current. When we get numbers, they tested, they got the results, they posted. But the hospitalizations is people that were diagnosed several days ago to maybe a week ago. And as they got sicker, they ended up going. So you'll hear her talk about it being a lagging indicator. And that's what she means, that this is what a result of what was happening back, but it's an indication to help them go back to those numbers and look and do the data things that they do. So that's there. Then ventilators, there are 46 ventilators in use with 136 available. Again, that's good news. I think this is up. I've taken so much data to remember yesterday, but 103 intensive care beds are being used in mountain hospitals. And again, the mountain region also takes in the foothills. So remember that, Polk, McDowell, Rutherford. Inpatient, 836, that's close. That's in the ballpark. By the way, we have 73 empty but staffed ICU beds. They have 493 empty and staffed inpatient hospital beds. So that's the stats there for the mountains. What I also was interested in, let me just see here. Let's try that. Let's see where that is. Let's see if I've got that. Trying to look at another region here. And that region. Okay. Duke, Eastern Healthcare. Okay. I think I'm in the area here of Charlotte. I'm pretty sure I am. 3,111 inpatient beds in use with 1,275 beds empty and staffed. I think I'm in the right region. 351 ICU beds in use with 86 that are empty and staffed. That's high with a low number. I mean, it's good to have the 86 rooms, but perspectively speaking, that's kind of interesting. Well, all of this is affecting things over and over and over and over again. So one of the things that I saw was, oh, good grief. I went up on the Facebook Live and saw me. I'm sorry for you that are on Facebook Live. Sorry about that. Anyhow, let me jump over here to what this is also dealing with is I saw where a story where Farm City Days was, if I remember the story correctly, and I keep all my stories for 15 days, then delete them for storage space. So I'm going to go back, try to remember when I did that story. See if I can find it. No, it wasn't that day. But as I recall, they said they were going virtual. And yeah, here we go. Due to ongoing concerns over COVID-19, organizers of the Farm City have canceled the event. I'm sorry. They have canceled the event held annually on the first Saturday of October in Hendersonville. Organizers said the decision follows the example of other local events such as the Garden Jubilee, the North Carolina Apple Festival, and the Western North Carolina Fair, which have either modified or canceled their plans due to the virus. They said it's the second time they've ever canceled the event, which has been held since 1955. So there's something else that has kind of gone by the wayside there for COVID-19. And I understand people being precautious in the day and age that we live to not expose themselves in events that are just difficult to manage. And that's the problem. They're just difficult to manage. So, yeah, we've got that. And then we're also got schools. And because of all this, schools have been impacted. And so they've had to make decisions. And based on in North Carolina, the governor said plan B or C. In South Carolina, to use our terms and not theirs because they have different terms, A, B, or C. And they're pushing A, everybody, all the kids back in school. But Transylvania County students will be divided into two groups. One group will go to class on Mondays and Wednesdays, and the others on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They also talked about transportation, one per seat, and how that's going to work. And again, if you're, I said on Swap Shop, if you're splitting your students that come to school in half, that does not necessarily mean that it splits your transportation in half, because no matter how they decide, you know, alphabetically or whatever they assign, if they assign colors to say UU, there's a lot of work to coordinate that to where it's a 50-50 split on who gets picked up on a bus to reduce it to 50%. And then if you have three people per seat in any situation, 50% still leaves you with issues. And they were talking about, you know, possible double runs, shuttle pickups, things like that. So that is kind of where they're going. Polk County also last night chose, says they'll be able to choose from in-person or remote learning next month when the district opens for the 2020-21 academic year. They'll have the option to either attend in-person classes at least 2 days a week or participate in one of two remote learning options. Students in grades 6 to 12 can attend in-person classes 2 days per week. One group will be on Mondays and Tuesdays, the other on Thursday and Friday, and Wednesday will be a fully remote day for all students. And by the way, Transylvania County, it's Friday that is virtual for all. Okay, then Asheville City Schools decided Thursday, they kind of made changes after listening to the concerns of staff and parents. They are reopening under Plan C, at least for the first 9 weeks. So school starts August the 12th with at-home remote instruction for all students, kindergarten through 12th grade. Haywood County will start virtually. The school board passed a more restrictive Plan B school reopening plan, and the superintendent says schools will start virtually for most on August the 17th with the hopes that the kids can return to the classroom within the month. Under the plan, teachers can come back as well as pre-K students who need extra help. Rutherford County, during a specially called meeting last Wednesday, they established that the school will reopen for remote learning only, Plan C, until Tuesday, September the 8th. So we'll see how that goes from there. So yeah, there's a lot of things to take in consideration, a lot of things that need to be looked at, and each district doing different things at different times. So my goodness, incredible. Well, on the COVID front, very interesting. The two coronavirus vaccines began the last phase of testing with 30,000 person trials. And watching the news this morning, a volunteer in Savannah, Georgia, received a shot in her arm. They actually showed it on the news and became the first participant in this experiment that will test the effectiveness of the coronavirus vaccine. So that's interesting. And this is one of two that's in the final phases. And if I understood it correctly, they will get the real deal or they'll get a placebo, but they won't know. Oh, yeah, there it is. I just see, I'm reading right here. Half will receive the shot and half will receive a placebo. And they won't know which one they got. I guess that helps with sometimes you say, hey, I think that's working, and you didn't get the right thing. I've heard of doctors who have prescribed pills for people in the old days and would say, now take this whenever you feel that coming on. And it was sugar pills, you know, no medicinal effects at all. But what they were doing is they were getting too worked up. And if they thought that was helping, then it brought them back down. But that is that's something. And I'll say this, if they're talking about by the end of the year, we'll see what happens, because, you know, it has to be FDA approved. But I have never in my lifetime seen anything like the speed of which they are doing the, and this, these are not the only drugs and the only people out there, but just incredible to me, the speed with which they are doing those things. And my hope and prayer is that if they can get something to cure it or take it completely away, that'd be great. But my big prayer is that it's like the chicken pox, that you have a lifelong immunity from it, and once you've had it, versus it can come back like the flu bug does because it mutates. And we've already seen some variations in muting and things like that. So it's kind of wait and see. But that's my hope and prayer. And of course, I pray all the time for families who are going through it, while there are some who are waiting to see what's going to happen as their loved ones in the hospital and they can't be there, and those that have actually lost someone to it. And that number is staggering. And obviously, I don't know, maybe sometimes you hear statistics, okay, and you don't, there's just a number, you don't think about it, but because I'm such a detailed oriented person, I find myself looking at the numbers and saying, oh wow, those are individual people who, because of a virus, have lost their lives. And there are incredible people that are going through hard places because of the fact that they lost their lives. Let me just jump over here because I did not look at it. And I'm going to look at the United States deaths. And we're at the top, 148,298. Wow, that's incredible. We are in confirmed cases, 4,330,437. So I pray for folks, and I pray for people, not just that, who are going through other trials and situations and circumstances, especially those who are fighting terminal illnesses and trying to stay healthy and stay out away from people because of what they take lowers their immune system. One of the prayer requests that we got during Swap Shop was for a lady who needs to have her numbers come up and be right so she could take her chemotherapy this week. And I understand you want to get it done and over with for the, and each, I've been on therapies where you go 21 days straight taking a plethora of stuff, and then you get 7 days reprieve. I'm on one now that is so strong that I take a bunch of chemo pills for 4 days. And then it was taking me 5 weeks for my immune system. It put my immune system down so low, it took 5 weeks to bring it back up. But then it went to 6 weeks. And he lowered the dosage. And when he did that, where it was taking my cancer count down rapidly, it started going back up, and that concerned me. But he said, I can't take it back up because of your immune system. Well, now, the last time, it took 7 weeks, and my blood test on Monday, I'm not ready. I'll see him. He'll make me take a blood test, which normally he would tell me, go ahead with it, because that's, we spaced it out to 6 weeks. Didn't happen. It's going to be 7 weeks or more. It's going to it's the same way again. So I understand that this lady needs her numbers to be up, but then when it knocks, she takes it, it'll knock it down. So she'll be there again. And that is the long and short of that. So be in prayer. Well, yesterday I said that doesn't matter what side of the political aisle people are on, it doesn't matter where the Democrat, Republican, and every other thing there is to be, they're all leading us through different directions to the one world government. That's where we're at and where we're headed. So when we take a look at this, there was a place and a time where there was a first ever, let's make our own way, our own one world government, our own one world system, our own one world. And God said, no. God said, no. Now, what was the purpose of that? Because it wasn't time. Jesus hadn't come, and we hadn't gone through the Old Testament and the things that had to happen there to bring about the Jewish nation. That hadn't happened yet. And we find ourselves at a place where man said, let us. Well, let us what? Well, they had several things. First of all, let us rise up and build. You know, there are people trying to build their way to God. They're trying to build their way to their own way to get to heaven. And we're considered narrow-minded because we believe the Bible, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so they said, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Okay, so they're getting ready. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. Now, God wanted them to disperse. That's what he wanted them to do, and they didn't do it. They're going to have this one world way to get to them. So they said, let's have this tower. It was called a ziggurat, and it would go up towards heaven. Because if you read the next part of the verse, whose top may reach unto heaven. And said, let us make us one, or let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Study out Shinar, Babylon. And they dwelt there. It's amazing that the time of the Gentiles starts with Babylon, and it will run until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which I believe we're watching right now. In fact, I believe that there were, you know, the disciples were there, the apostles at Pentecost, they witnessed the birth of the church and were part of that. You and I think, as close as we are, might be the ones who witnessed the end of the church by its removal. Don't know if that's coming within the time frame of while I'll still be alive or not. But they dwelt there. They stayed. The word dwelt has everything to do with to inhabit, to settle down. It actually, the root part means to sit down. They're settling. Let us. That's what they said. So here's the Lord's response. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of the men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will restrain them, which they have imagined to do. We've already seen that back in Genesis 6. They repented, God. They had become so wicked in their imagination. And he said, this is going to happen again. Go to, let us. This is the only let us that mattered. Let us go down. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And confound their language, so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them from abroad and thence upon the faces of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. So we see race comes from Scripture and the Bible. And we see that all the languages came because they were trying to build a one world, one system. And then God said, no, we're going to go down and confound their language. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, which means confusion. And it says here, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad the face of the earth. If you go back to three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and you trace their lineage, you know what you'll find? You will find that God said, I will enlarge Japheth. Why did he enlarge Japheth over the other two? Because it would come through that line that there would be the biggest and greatest group of witnesses. And we can see in our English-speaking world back in the day when it swept into Europe and into Britain and England, it came over into America and became seeded into the very fabric. And what brought everyone together so that we could have the United States of America, what made them come together to be willing to go to war, which they really didn't want to do, was the great awakening, where they found that Christ wanted men to be free. And so they came and raised up arms to have freedoms, including the freedom to worship, the freedom of religion. So that was the key, God's timing. That wasn't God's timing. But I was just reading the book of Revelation again this week and just seeing all the things that have come together. And one thing that stood out in my mind, and we will pray and head out today. One thing that stood out in my mind was it said, for Babylon is fallen in 1 hour. How quickly their economic system closed down. Chapter 17 of Revelation is the collapse of the religious system, and chapter 18 is the collapse of the economical system. How quickly it all shut down. And we've seen just how quickly things can shut down. Thank you for being with us today on Drive Time. I'm Pastor Walton, in for Pastor Barton. Would you please remember him in prayer tomorrow morning? He'll leave out. And 9 o'clock, unless something changed, 9 o'clock, surgery time. Pray for the great physician to come in and overtake the doctors. Pray for a quick recovery. And pray that he will be able to be back in the saddle just as soon as possible. Long recovery for it. Also, Miss Christie's daughter, she'll be coming up in a week or so. And we want to remember her. And a lady with a heart valve replacement surgery that's needed as well. Remember these in prayer. And as quick as we're given any news tomorrow, be listening to the radio. We will have that for you on the radio. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would meet the needs of people, these requests and others that have called in, the lady with the chemo that needs to have that, but has to have the right numbers. We ask you, Lord, to minister. We ask you, Lord, to encourage. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen. We pray, Lord, that you would protect people. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, are doing, and will do. We love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton praying. You have an absolutely wonderful day.